Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 18 tonight, picking up where we left off last time. And just let me remind you and set the stage again. Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. He preached to his disciples. He spelled out for his disciples what his expectations were for how his disciples were to live. They were high standards. They were higher than the standards and the expectations that God spelled out in the Ten Commandments and the law that he gave to Moses. And so the question in their minds, and the question perhaps in our mind, is how do we live it? How do we live according to the Sermon on the Mount? How do we live according to the expectations and the standards that Jesus spells out for us in his word? We cannot do that by our own might. We cannot do that by our own intellect. We cannot do that by our own desire. We can only do it as we claim the power that the Holy Spirit offers to each one of us. So the Sermon on the Mount is in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. In Matthew chapters 8 and 9, Jesus works 12 miracles, 6 miracles in each chapter. And as we've talked about, the purpose of those miracles was to show his disciples then and to show us now that Jesus is powerful, he is omnipotent, and that the same power behind those miracles is the power available to us through the Holy Spirit to live how God wants us to live. So we've looked at 7 of those miracles so far. We've looked at the healing of the leper. We looked at the healing of the centurion's servant. Jesus wasn't near the centurion's servant. He healed him by his word at a distance. We looked at the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. We looked at the healing of Capernaum. Everybody that was sick in Capernaum came and Jesus healed them, including those that were possessed with devils. He cast out the demons. The fifth miracle was the stilling of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. We told the wind to quiet down and the waves to be still. And then the last one in chapter 8 was the healing of the demon possessed that lived in the tombs at Gadara. Okay. Then we started chapter 9 and we looked at the healing of the one sick of the palsy, where his friends tore off the roof and let him down at Jesus' feet. And he told him to take up his bed and go home. Now, last week, we took a break from the miracles, and we looked at the passage in Matthew that records the call of Matthew as a disciple. Okay? So tonight, we're going to look at miracles number 8 and number 9, starting in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 9, where the Bible says, "While he spake these things unto them." Now, he was talking. Some people had asked him a question about why John the Baptist's disciples fasted and his disciples didn't. And he answered that question. "And while he spake these things unto him, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." Now, the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke also record this event. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that when the ruler of the synagogue, and it names him there in Luke, this man's name is Jairus. When Jairus came to Jesus, his daughter was still alive. And he came to Jesus to ask Jesus to come home with him and heal his daughter from her sickness. Let me just read a couple of verses from Luke chapter 8. This is verse 41 and 42 of chapter 8 of Luke. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying." So when he left home, when he came to Jesus to seek his help, his daughter was still alive. She was sick, and she was really sick. And the Bible says that she was dying. Now, later on in the same chapter of Luke chapter 8, verse 49, let me just read this verse to you. "While he yet spake," while he was speaking to Jesus, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. And so, again, when Jairus left home, his little 12-year-old daughter was sick. Now, she was really sick, severely sick. She was dying. Now word has, and so Jairus went to Jesus and said, come to my house. If you lay your hand on my daughter, I know you can heal her. Now word has come that life has left her. She has died. So Matthew records in verse 18, Jairus saying, my daughter is even now dead. Okay? And so when Matthew records what he does in verse 18, word has already come that his daughter has died. And yet Jairus says, the fact that she died did not dissuade him from asking Jesus for help. He says, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Now, I want you to just stop for a minute and think. What faith? What faith? It's one thing to have faith that says to Jesus, you come and heal my daughter. But it's a different level of faith that says, my daughter is dead, but Jesus, if you come, you can restore her life. I want to point out to you that Jesus had never done this before. He had never raised anybody from the dead yet. This was going to be the first of three that's recorded in the New Testament. But my point is, there's no reference point to Jairus to look at and say, well, Jesus, you did it before. You can do it again. I mean, if a leper came to Jesus and said, you can heal me, he could look back to other lepers that Jesus has healed and said, you did it before. You can do it again. If a deaf man came and said, Jesus, help me to hear, and they could look back and say, you've healed other deaf people. You can do it again. Same thing for the blind and the lame and the sick of the palsy. Now, Jairus had probably heard about the healing of the leper. I mean, he was a ruler of the synagogue, and so he had a position, and he came in contact with a lot of people. And so he probably heard about the healing of the leper. He probably heard about the healing that went on in Capernaum, where the whole city came, and everybody that came to Jesus was healed. He probably had heard about the stilling of the storm out on the Sea of Galilee, when the disciples thought they were going to be shipwrecked and drowned, and Jesus was asleep in the back of the ship, and he woke up and said, peace be still. And there was a calm, there was a stillness just at his word. Jairus had probably heard about the two possessed with devils that lived in the tombs at Gadara. And so maybe on his part, it was just an extrapolation. If Jesus can do those things, he can restore life. But just stop and think about it. That's a big leap. I mean, it's one thing to heal. It's another thing to bring people back from the dead. But maybe Jairus saw Jesus for who he was. Maybe Jairus saw Jesus as the anointed one. Maybe Jairus saw Jesus as the Messiah. Maybe Jairus saw Jesus as the Son of God. And maybe Jairus just knew the Son of God, the Messiah, can bring the dead back to life. Now, it tells me that not all the Jewish religious leaders, not all the rulers of the synagogues went along with that group that came after Jesus, went along with that group that tried to attack him every chance they got, tried to catch him and saying something that they could use to accuse him of breaking the law. Here, I think, was a ruler of the Jews that had an open mind, that listened, that watched, that weighed the evidence that he experienced by people talking to him, or maybe he had seen himself, and made the conclusion, this is the Messiah. No one can do the works that this man does unless he is the promised one from God. So look at verse 19. So he said, my daughter's dead, but if you come and lay your hand on her, she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. So Jesus got up, and he started following Jairus home, as did his disciples. It may have been just the 12, or in all probability, it was a larger group than that and included other followers. Verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. So on their trip to Jairus' house, they were interrupted. A woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, the Bible tells us, came behind him, and I'm sure she was part of the crowd. I mean, in fact, in one of the other Gospels, Jesus said, after this woman touched him, who touched me? Who touched me? And one of his disciples says, Master, there's people all around you. I mean, you're in the middle of the crowd. What do you mean, who touched you? There's hundreds of people here that could have touched you. And Jesus said, no, that this was a special touch because I felt power go out of my body. So she was part of the crowd that was following Jesus. And she came behind him and reached out and touched the hem of his garment, the bottom part of his garment, where it was hemmed up at the bottom. She touched that hem. Now, I want you to notice, and I don't think this is a coincidence. The little girl, the Bible tells us, was about 12 years old. This woman had this issue of blood for 12 years. So look at it. In this one instance, here's 12 years of life and light that's gone out of a child's life as she has died. And yet, here's 12 years of darkness that this woman has suffered because of this disease that she had that is about to end. And she's about to come in to the light of God as she was healed. Look at verse 21. This is a woman, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now, notice again, she has no reference point to go back to. Okay? Something like this had never happened before. I mean, she had nothing to look back to and say, hey, I've heard of other people that have come up and just touched Jesus' clothes and they were healed. If he did that for them, he can do it for me. She didn't have anything to look back on. Jesus had never healed anybody before by them just touching his clothes. I mean, every time he healed somebody before, he touched them like he did the leper, or he spoke to them like he did to the centurion and said, go on home, your servant is healed. He told the demons to leave. He told sickness to depart. Never, never had anyone been healed by just touching his clothes. And again, what faith? What faith? I mean, she didn't have anything to look back to. She didn't have anything to say. Well, he did it before, he can do it again. And maybe, again, it was just an extrapolation on her part. I've heard what he did, how he cured the leper. I heard how he cured the whole city of Capernaum. I heard how he killed the storm, calmed the storm. I heard how he threw the demons out of those two that lived in the tombs in Gadara. If he has the power to do that, then all I have to do is touch the hem of his garment and I'll be healed. Or maybe she, like Jairus, saw Jesus for who he was. Maybe she said, nobody could do this except the one promised by God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Verse 22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, we read about her issue of blood. And that was probably the worst thing that was wrong with her. But I've often thought, I wonder if she had other ailments, other things that were physically wrong with her. When she touched Jesus, him, everything was cured. I mean, she walked away from him with not an ache, not a pain. I mean, however you want to describe it, she was made whole. That's the way God works. He don't do anything halfway. He does it all together. She walked away whole. Verse 23. So after healing this woman, Jesus continues his journey to Jairus' house. He arrives and he finds that the mourning, not mourning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, but mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, like I preached about Sunday morning, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The mourning had already started. Look at verse 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. Part of the custom in this day is that if you were well off and could afford it, like Jairus was as a ruler of the synagogue, you would hire professional mourners. And they would come and they would mourn your loved one that has died. And the louder the mourning, the louder the crying, the louder the wails, not wails, W-H-A-L-E-S, but wails, W-A-I-L-S, the greater the mourning, okay? And so when Jesus came, this was a sad scene. This was a loud scene because they were playing their instruments. They were making a noise. They were wailing. They were grieving for this little girl. Jesus said unto them in verse 24, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Jesus said, you might as well stop your mourning. I mean, you know, quit playing your instruments, quit wailing, quit crying. This little girl is not dead. She is just asleep. And the crowd started laughing. No, we know she's dead. She's not breathing. She doesn't have a heartbeat. And it's probably been a while. I don't know how long it took for Jesus and Jairus and his disciples to get to his house, but she'd probably been dead for a while. And they said, hey, no, the doctor's been here. He pronounced her dead. You don't know what you're talking about. She is dead, and there's nothing that you can do about it. And so they laughed at him. Said, you don't know what you're talking about. She's not asleep. She is dead. But there was one person there, and maybe two. I don't know about the mom. But there was one person there that still had faith. Daddy still had faith. Daddy, when word came that his little girl was dead, said, Jesus, I believe, and this is what faith is, I believe that if you came and you laid your hand on her, life would come back into her body. And so Daddy came to the scene, probably saw the body of his little girl, saw his wife crying, saw all the professional mourners there wailing and playing their instruments and screaming and crying. And he said, Jesus, I still believe that if you touch her, life could come back into her body. Verse 25, but when the people were put forth, everybody was put out. I mean, I don't know if it was Jesus or if it was the dad. Just said, just leave. Please leave. Get out of here. He went in. Now, the Bible tells us that with him, with Jesus, was her mom and dad. And Peter, James, and John, okay? So the inner circle of his disciples. And so there were six people in the room, Jesus, the three disciples, mom and dad, and then the body of this little girl. Now, Matthew says, but when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Okay? That's Matthew's report. He just took her hand, and she got up and stood up. Luke adds some detail. Okay? Luke says he took her by the hand and said, "Made arise." Made arise. And that her spirit came again. She arose straightway, and Jesus commanded them to give her bread or something to eat. Probably been sick for a while. She was probably hungry. And so Jesus said, "Hey, give her something to eat." Again, this was the first instance of anybody being raised from the dead in the Gospels. Again, Jesus did it two other times, as recorded in the Gospels. The widow of Nain's son on the way to the cemetery, and then the one that we know most about, Lazarus, who had been buried for 4 days. So again, look at the picture God's painting. One person, this little girl, had just died. Her body was still at home. The widow of Nain's son, he was dead, and in his funeral procession, on the way to the cemetery to be buried. And then Lazarus had been buried for 4 days. You see, the circumstances didn't matter to Jesus. He can break up a funeral before it starts, as it's happening, or after it's over. He can break up a funeral. Praise God. Praise God. Now, here's what Luke tells us. Jesus said to this little girl's parents, "I don't want you to tell anybody. Just don't tell anybody what's happened here." It's the same thing he told the leper. Remember the first miracle we talked about when he healed the leper? The leper came to him and says, "If you will, you can heal me." Jesus said, "I will," and touched him and healed him. But he said, go show yourself to the priest, offer the sacrifices you're supposed to offer, go through the things you're supposed to go through, but please don't tell anybody. Well, Matthew says in verse 26, "And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land." So if mom and dad obeyed Jesus, somebody else didn't. Somebody else told what went on in the room, and it went into all the land. Everybody heard it. Everybody heard what Jesus had done. Everybody heard about the power that he had even over death. Power to heal the sick, power to cast out demons, power to calm a storm, power to even raise the dead. We can claim that same power through the Holy Spirit, to live the life that God wants us to live. Can't do it on our own, not in our own power, not in our own intellect, not even with our own desire. Can't do it on our own. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can. And so, again, we look at the Sermon on the Mount. We look at other things that Jesus taught us about how he wants us to live. And we might say, it's impossible. Yeah, it is impossible for us. But it's not impossible for us with the Holy Spirit's help. Let's claim that power. Let's live the way that God wants us to live. All right, thank you for being here tonight. We're going to have a word of prayer and be dismissed. The men will be going back to the fellowship hall to pray. And again, the ladies will be praying in here. And again, if you're not going to pray, I just ask again, if you're going to visit, go out into the lobby out there and visit. But thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. See you again on Sunday. Let's stand together.